WV Uncommon Place. This podcast is a variety podcast that houses numerous series to cover mental health, empowerment, podcast framework, and various intimate theories to get to know the hosts. Along with occasional movies reviews and dives in pop culture with our event podcast episode. The Uncommon Place digs into bringing guests on that stories don't fit the mold and are very different. WV stands for the Great State of West Virginia, and every quarter we cover something in West Virginia. Stacey and myself, JR, are your hosts, so please come along for this venture to our Uncommon Place.
Hey dude, what are we going to do about increasing our audience for our films? TikTok and YouTube aren't doing too well for us.
Well, now that I think about it, my friend told me about the West Virginia Mountaineer Short Film Festival on April 19th through the 21st over at WVU in Morgantown. It's happening at the Kennedy Creative Arts Center on that Friday and Saturday, and at the WVU Mountain Lair on Sunday.
Dang, sounds pricey to be featured at such a large event.
No worries, bro. They accept all forms of films, and the submission fee is really reasonable. In fact, anyone listening to this podcast can get a 50% discount off the submission fee, which brings the entry fee down to just $5. Not only that, but with this waiver code, you all can submit up until Friday, March 22nd, 2 weeks past the regular entry deadline. Just go to their Film Freeway page and use the waiver code WVM24.
Yo, bro, I just searched up this fest and it's legit. They get anywhere from 250 to 300 submissions from over 25 countries. They'll be showing all kinds of films. Plus, they're gonna have a free filmmaking workshop on Friday and a bunch of live multimedia performances on Saturday. I also hear they're gonna be doing a live panel discussion with some video artists and animators about artificial intelligence, which, you know, pretty controversial, but also really important to learn on. So anyway, dude, should really go submit your film.
That's sick. What's the link? I want to learn more.
Dude, just go to www.wvmsff.com. There you can find more information about how to submit.
Well, bro, it says right here that we can win a prize for the best film, and even if we don't win, we'll still have a fun weekend watching films with free popcorn and milk duds.
No way! Free snacks! I also heard West Virginia has the best pepperoni rolls, so we gotta go!
Welcome to West Virginia Uncommon Place. I am JR, and I'm back from a long, long hiatus. I guess what happens in between doing the interviews and then doing the special content that I do, about the things that I like, is that sometimes I forget what I'm originally supposed to be here for. I'm supposed to be here to interview people. And today I have with me a man by way of Chicago, by way of Pittsburgh now. And his name is Tony.
Got it.
And so that I do not chop Tony's last name up right now, I'm going to let him tell you his last name, Losaco. So remember Losaco. That, everybody. And the world's most famous question that comes in when you're on West Virginia and Common Place is, who are you? So let's go ahead, Tony, and start with that real quick. Let us know who you are, and then we'll get into why you're here today.
Who am I? I'm a simple guy. I grew up in Chicago. My one side of the family, my dad's side, were Italian immigrants. The other side has been here for a while. I grew up in the 70s and 80s. I had aspirations of musical stardom. I went to school, actually, for psychology and wanted to be a psychiatrist, then wanted to be a rock star, and then I ended up in IT. Started having kids and pretty much became my focus, and I've written 6 books that kind of became my creative outlet. And this last one, The Analog Parent, is what I'm talking to people about now, and it's essentially about
okay, and I like that. And we do need to work on that infrastructure, because me and you both were kind of from the same generation. And I say this, I was born in 1985, so I'm 38. It seems like after about 1995, 96, maybe I'll say it better like this: when CompuServe and AOL became really, really big in my generation.
I think it was first.
It was CompuServe, whatever way it was. Netscape Communicator was the browser. CompuServe, yeah. We had that. And then, so you know exactly what I'm getting into. So the 56K modem. And
yeah,
oh yeah,
well, you had a fast one.
And mind you, this is coming from a kid that in 1989 had a Commodore 64. And I forgot what Apple computer we had, but whatever Apple computer we had, it ran Oregon Trail, and all I knew was how to get it to run that, and we went from there. So, Tony, tell us about this book real quick.
It's called The Analog of Aaron. The reason, obviously, is I grew up in a different era than, and I always put it, the Generation X is the last generation that really understands freedom. We did not have even cameras. We did not have cell phones. There was no internet. There were three channels on TV all through the 70s, and really cable was sort of a late 70s, mid to late 70s thing, and only a few people had that. MTV didn't happen until like the 80s, you know, when you look up that coming out, and that includes computers and everything that goes along with it. And, you know, I come from a divorced family, and how I always put it, and the reason I wrote this is when my parents got divorced, I think I was maybe one of two kids in high school, because my dad left when I was about 13. And when my kids ended up in high school, they were about one of two kids that had parents who were still together. And when you look at it today, you look at everything that is going on today. I don't care what it is. And pick any ill in society, you know, homelessness, drug addiction, just the tensions we have, this nature of division that exists today. I had none of that. We grew up in the 80s. There was nobody cared. There was none of this. Like, there was so much interest in the self, but the family was still relatively intact. And it really started, if you look at the 80s through the 90s, started going crazy in terms of the amount of divorce. And what divorce does, as I always say, is create the rift in time. And everything you knew before is gone. And everything you know after is totally different. And when you do that to a child, and I don't really even care what age of the child, but especially when children are younger, you are severing something so severe in their psyche that even if they come out okay, and I came out okay, I love my parents. There's no hostilities, but there's something lost. You know, and I tell my wife, we're starting over. We're going to be the grandparents that our kids never had. And it's important. All of those cycles are missing now. And you look at whether it's extended families, whether it's like my dad had four more kids. And when you do those things, all you're doing is diluting and diluting and diluting. And I think the reason when you look at this nature of identity today, and, you know, air quotes, is because your identity really is your family. And if there is no family, then you're going to turn to things like gender and race and blah. And it's like, it's so boring. There are so many reasons and so much more interesting things to talk about.
So true.
Than yourself. And, you know, I would rather talk about music and art and architecture and, you know, sport. And it's like, come on, people. But all of it, it's that sense of lost something. And, you know, a large part of it, I think, came up originally when the notion of, you know, fatherlessness, and actually, you know, more so, and it's funny to me because the statements usually is more so in Black families. No, it's not. Every divorced family, and especially when I saw my dad maybe five times through high school, where we hung out, you know, and then the other times were when I got into trouble. When you do stupid things, then the hammer has to come in and correct it. But it's that I want people to understand. There's such a negative thing now, where getting married, finding someone, you have a wife, finding someone that you just, you know, there's so much there, And then you have kids, and that just builds upon your foundation. And you start losing that sense of self because you have to be there for them. And that's where the only selfish from the kid's standpoint and selfless from the parent really matters. So I'm trying to teach younger people that I felt like,
oh yeah, it's called,
it's okay to swear. It sounds so fucking old when I say that, but it's true. I look at kids, and I built an academy at one of the companies I worked at, and I was grabbing kids out of college, and you could see it. You could see it. There wasn't that spark. They didn't have the balls. And the reason this generation gets picked on so much is because they've been put into such a bubble that they've never had to experience pain. So their pain is all self-inflicted. Me, 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 me. And when you get away from that and you go, look, you can actually get married. You can find someone to spend the rest of your life with. You can have kids. You can become grandparents and help raise those kids. People forget that. You know, the role of the grandparent is critical. I mean, it's essential. How do you look at the respect old people have to that?
Right.
There's none. I would have had the living shit knocked out of me if I ever disrespected my grandparents.
And that was one thing, like, growing up, we didn't figure out a term either. And one thing that I noticed, and I'm glad that we're having this conversation, I noticed that fortitude was something that went out the window. And when fortitude left, the generation of parents, which would be you and I, and our parents before us, and their parents, actually, so actually going back to my grandparents, and heck, you know, your parents, they were given a different way of institutionalizing your children. And I hate to say institutionalized because we learn from places, but institutionalized is the best form I'm going to come up with. But the way that we were taught by them, we were not. Are you all, technical difficulties always come about. And the thing that I was leading into, and once again, I apologize for that little inconvenience right there, was this real simple thing, Tony. It seems like my grandparents did everything they could to raise their children right. But when it came to their children going out in the public settings and giving them socialization skills, these were something that the grandparents decided to not go in on. They let that be taught by the schools. Division, go ahead.
Yeah, we're about, so you were 85, you said, I think?
Yes.
You know, so I'm a good, 15 to 17 years older than you.
Okay.
And I completely agree that, like, that wasn't the case when I grew up. And I agree with you. My parents taught me everything to be a good human being, to be kind to other people, to not judge a book by its cover. You look at old adages, which is, I think you were saying, fortitude.
Yeah.
Fair to rod, spoil the child. Life is not fair. You know, all of the adages that we grew up with are gone. And somehow those things are considered antiquated versus critical building blocks for human beings. You know, your child should not be screaming in a restaurant.
Right.
You remove that child from the restaurant if they're screaming. You cannot reason with a 3-year-old. They are not reasonable people.
Right.
You know, or the grocery store or wherever it is. And that's why I say the analog parent, because I'm not stating anything new. The only thing that I state differently is the dangers of technology.
Ooh, can I add one thing real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
And that was one thing that I was going to jump in on, the pacifier. When I was born, there was Betamax. Heck, there was even Laserdisc.
Yeah.
But when VHS, and I'll never forget this, Disney was pumping out movies at the time. I think it was like The Rescuers, Down Under, Little Mermaid.
Sure.
This was before any of that Aladdin stuff or any of that. They put out a certain prescribed amount of movies, and I think the last one that they did in this type of arena was the DuckTales movie. It was like, because that was a big thing in like 90, 91. So what they would do is they would camouflage babysitting a kid with a TV by adding a toy to it and then something to capture it. So that was the first major tie-in that I seen them do in the 80s growing up. And then in the 90s, I could reflect on. That was the first time I realized that, hey, somebody's trying to make a new babysitter with electronics. And it was the VCR. People think it was the TV, but I say no, because it was something about a VCR rewinding the tape.
I wholeheartedly agree, because the show ends. So whatever hidden shows that we watched, well, they ended and the TV got turned off or whatever. You know, in my case, it was always go outside and play.
Mm-hmm.
No, we weren't generally allowed to be inside. That was sort of a, like, it had to be 20 below zero or, you know, whatever, you know, it was almost a death march for you to, like, we went to school in the blizzard of 79. It was great. You know, there were 3 feet of snow everywhere. And but that's what you did. And you're right. The VCR, you can hit rewind and repeat. And that's, we had Baby Einstein.
Okay.
That was a, you know, and it was all like classical music. And it would be like a baby in there. And they would have little, I can't remember what they're called. You know, the things that hang and spin and stuff. Mm-hmm. And but you're right. You, even as a baby, that's where it started. And you're completely right, because a program gets shut off, it ends. A VCR, a videotape, just gets rewound and replayed.
Mm-hmm.
And now, this evil thing.
Yes.
You know, the telly, you look at kids today and in young kids, not even like, forget teenagers, but it's like, wah, you know, they are living in a box. And that's bad. You probably had the same thing. Can't stare at the TV too long. It'll kill your eyes or whatever, right?
Right. And don't be in front of the TV. Don't get too... Yeah.
Yeah, and you can't be close to the TV either.
Or
like,
go across
with some weird, like... But really what it meant was go outside and play.
Yes.
Because you aren't going blind. You shouldn't be in front of a box for that long. Whatever the box is. You know, you're just being pumped.
Yeah.
Things, not experiencing things.
And then another entry I'll throw in here is another thing that I noticed too, and this isn't what happened to me. I always went outside and I was an athlete and things like that. But I got a Nintendo, an NES, when I was a baby. Now, mind you, I didn't know what I was doing, but you know, Duck Hunt, playing Super Mario and learning a cadence. So I learned the jump cadence from my father. 2-3 years old, I can pick that up. Any legend mind can do that. Yeah. So he taught me how to count that way. But as I got older, I still went outside, but I made time for video games. I prioritized, I made sure homework and everything else. I was a responsible kid to a degree, but I started getting these extra little things. First, it was a Nintendo. Then I believe it was a Game Boy. Then from a Game Boy, it went on to, let's go to the arcade and play. Let's go outside and play. Let's play sports and do all that. But whenever you have free time, get yourself plugged into an electronic, be on a screen.
Yeah. And what's weird is, again, how old I am, but we had Pong.
Yes.
And you know what's interesting to me, actually? In today's world, where you have 4K graphics, where you can actually see the reflection of the animated thing in a pool of water. And then all of a sudden, Minecraft came out, and it went back to 8-bit graphics like it was the hottest thing ever, which
yes,
a weird anomaly to me in the whole technology sphere of things, because we would have killed to have, like, I didn't even have an Atari. I had the Magnavox version called
Odyssey. And I remember that.
A computer with a cartridge that went up top. And then in television was another one.
Yes.
Where your thumbs would get ground to the bone because it had a little pad on it, and that's how you move. But they had baseball and soccer and all these other sports. But yeah, I think it's the notion of, and this is where I think when you look at, when you expand these thoughts out, creativity only comes when individuals or a group of individuals have the time to not be directed. Like the world today, and I noticed this heavily with my kids, and this is when I start reflecting back. It's like all the signs were there. I just didn't know what they were. Like, When was the last time you pulled down the street and you saw a pickup game?
You don't.
You don't. You know, what are play dates? Call your friends. Your friends aren't around. Go outside. You know, I think George Carlin was the one who said, we had a stick and we had dirt. And you put the stick in the dirt. But he's right. I mean, when you lack creativity, you're chilling the soul. And when you look and expand that out, you know, and I'll take it on a real fast global level. Take that notion of creativity and what it brings to the human, and now put it on China. China hasn't made one thing, not one thing. They haven't created anything. They mimic, they steal, they don't create. And the reason they don't create is because they're in a stifled society. So the only thing we have left, really, when you look at the world today, is that. And the only way you get creativity is by doing things, not being instructed to do things, not plugging yourself into a thing, even just reading. You know, the concept of reading books is gone. I have to make an audiobook because I know nobody reads anymore.
Right.
It's true, and I get it, but at the same time, I'm like, God, we used to have book clubs and stuff like that. But think about, like, your intelligence, baseline intelligence as a human being. One of the greatest things you can do is read.
Right.
If you had no education whatsoever, and you grew up in a cave, and all you had were books around you, you would still be better off if you had a computer or a video game.
So true.
It forces the brain into doing things, and words create things in your brain, images that you have to develop. When somebody describes their trees were blowing in the wind and, you know, and you came into this and describing you as a person, would the image be you or would be what I thought you were? And that's the magic of creativity. It's really not hard. That's the problem. Everyone puts everything now into this. Oh my God, we can't possibly. Never can. Put the phone down. Tell your kids to shut up. Go outside and play. Don't let them be assholes. Teach them goodness, kindness. Teach your kids to get good grades. You know, my kids, it was always the top three. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Golden rule, right? Get the best grades you can possibly get. You know, I don't say you have to be Einstein, but, you know, you're not allowed to be stupid. And save 20% of everything you ever make. If you do those three things, I tell them other stuff, but you'll be good and you'll be kind towards others. You won't be a narcissist. You'll be smart versus stupid. And you'll never have to worry about money.
Regardless
of what you do, you could be a janitor. If you save 20% of everything you make from the second you leave your parents, it doesn't matter what you make. Compound annual growth. It will grow. You will be a millionaire at some point in time. Might be a little later than other people, might be a little sooner than other people, depending on what it is.
One other thing I wanted to throw in here real quick, before we get too much deeper into it, is this one thing. Comprehension. Everything you said, I agree with, but I need people to have comprehension, because too many people get out here and learn how to read, but then they don't learn how to comprehend what they're reading.
Sure.
And the deeper level of thought that goes into comprehension is something that is lost in today's society as a whole. Our generation, and that's the thing that I always, like, whenever I'm speaking in groups and different things, and every other endeavor I do in life, I'm asking them, hey, when you read this, give me a deeper thought. Let me ask you these critical thinking questions that Glenn Coe and McGraw-Hill used to ask us all the time. Like, let's figure out what we can do to get you in the mindset that you're thinking clearly, and you're thinking in the mentality of progression. A, B, C, D, E, F. Or it doesn't have to be that many, but let's at least have A through D.
Yeah.
Because the thing is that the portion of formulating thoughts, and then I'm not saying like simple things people can do, but I'm talking about like putting in stages for an event or something like that. You find a lot more people at our age group being these people instead of the younger generation, because these younger generation, like you said, they can't go through a mode or a mean to figure out how to get something done in a linear expression. Everything has to be multi-layered and difficult.
And has to be fed. And you're 100% right. When you had to write a book report, when books were read, you had to tell what the book was about. And reading comprehension was always a part of English. First, it was writing. Now, think about it. They don't teach cursive anymore.
No, they don't even use pens, hardly.
Well, and there's a problem with that. Again, I get back to what are the building blocks? And all of those things are just building blocks. It's fine that, like what I do notice that's a different thing is how quickly my kids learn abstract math, getting into more algebraic and calculic math than one plus one math. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. But the things they were leaving out were some of the other critical elements like comprehension, because you can read a book, but if you don't communicate what that book is to somebody and you don't talk about it and you don't all of a sudden hear another idea, well, hey, you think Bilbo Baggins could have been this? And well, Lord of the Rings, but and I was a sci-fi nerd as a kid, so I read everything Asimov, and I'd have to have a dictionary because I couldn't understand anything he was saying because he used huge words. But again, that's how you learn. When something is at your fingertips, I don't know if you're learning in a concrete yet comprehensive way, because you can easily find the definition of a word, and you can easily, like, I always put the internet as this. Imagine if the internet was actually a library, but instead of walking into the library and you had the Dewey Decimal System and you can find all your topics, imagine the librarians actually just threw all the books on the floor and there was a huge pile of books. And when you walked in, you had to go to the librarian and they were the only ones who could give you the book. Is that the real book? Is that the one you wanted? Is that going to be the information that you want? Technology, and people always forget it, algorithms are written by humans.
Right.
Humans have a bias.
They're the human intuition.
And I, again, everything is, I told my kids this, but if you have to read a book versus reading a snippet to understand something, that takes a lot of time. And then if you want to get a conflicting opinion, just take any topic, sharks. All of a sudden you read one book about sharks and then you pick up another one because you're fascinated. And then that book tells you something you didn't know that the other book kind of was like, wait a minute. But you have to actually dive in. You have to comprehend. You have to be able to actually take that knowledge, reason it, and make sense of it. And when your information comes in snippets and it's not necessarily thoughtful, and there is no arbiter of truth, where does that lead you?
Right.
And then throw in, and then you don't have a family to say, where the hell did you get that stupid information from? Mao was a great man, except for that little, he killed 60 million of his own people. Oh, didn't see that one. Che Guevara, great guy. He's got a cool hat. Except for he killed gays, religious dissidents, and pretty much anyone who got in the way of or Castro. It's like, no, these are not good people. Cool hat or not.
Right, people just think it's a nice t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. And I love your t-shirt, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much.
Appreciate of the Simpsons.
Yeah,
Thousand
that's
things
another
they
topic.
predict.
That's another topic for another day. I'll have to have you back on for that one day. Because me and you, we've lived through all that, and it's crazy how much they predicted, and a little bit seems true.
You heard how
Yeah.
much predicted spookily so.
It's like
What?
way too much. So, getting back on topic with that analog parent, how can people get a hold of this, and how can people move and groove with you across the internet? Because we do this thing called the oh man, it's been a while. The shameless plug, that was something we do for the show. Could you real quick, Tony, give us a quick shameless plug?
Sure, the book is on Amazon and it's on Barnes and Noble. So just the analog parent is all you have to type in there. I will have a website. This is the, I always say this to people and they, you get it once you talk to me. But I'm in the tech business. I talk to tech people all day long for the last 20, 30 years now. I am the least interested in technology technologist. I've never had social media, so all of this for me is a labor of deep hatred. So I could set up a website in 5 minutes. I just haven't. But yes, there I own the domain, theanalogparent.com. And yes, follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, on YouTube. The Analog Parent is everything. And you will find content that is pulled directly from the book. And it's everything that I'm doing, these short videos, it's always the same format because, content fed and information fed uniformly always gets digested better.
Yeah,
But
no.
thank you for that.
Please follow WV Uncommonplace on Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, TikTok, where we have some great content, Facebook, LinkedIn. Hit up the merch store at onecommonplace.square.site. Join the email list from the website and rate, subscribe, and give feedback from your favorite podcatcher. And lastly, thanks for listening and tune into the next episode. Thank you.